Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp. Our mission here at the Voice of Destiny Show is to encourage and empower you to be, do, and have everything that God has given you to do as a kingdom citizen. We are truly a royal priesthood, a holy nation that God's raising up for these last days to be His light on display. God uses the canvas of our lives to show the world that He is the sovereign, that he sent His Son Jesus to redeem the world. And each of us have a role in bringing that message, not only through what we say, but also what we do. Genesis 12:2 gives us a picture of God's intention for us as a people. This is God talking to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And we're here today to talk about a topic that I believe that is especially on the heart of God, that that God wants us to observe, and that is that God has a plan for families. And we will be talking with a series of our guests on the subject of a phenomenal family. What are their secrets? How do these families find a way in today's climate to live their lives north of average? And to help me with this conversation, I've invited Prophet Dorothy Daniel, who is a gifted prophet of God, but is an icon in developing and encouraging families. Dorothy, I want to welcome you to the show, and how are you doing today?
It's a great day and in the kingdom, and I am doing well. God is a great daddy, a great father, a great provider.
Wow. Well, we've been talking. You know, we're co-laborers in the kingdom together, and we spend quite a bit of time with our families working together to achieve God's purposes. And one of the things that we've seen that have shaped people's spiritual direction, their economic direction, it is the condition of their families. At the end of the day, when we've done all that we've done to be, do, and have what we're called to be in the world, our real measurement of our progress, a lot of times, points to the state and the progress of our family. And I wanted to talk to you and ask you, what do you think God's dream is for the family today during this particular hour that we're in?
I think that most of all, God wants to be the pivotal point in the family. He wants everyone in that family to center around Him. And the the thing is, how do we get there? You know, because as a mother and father of these kids, we come from different backgrounds, and sometimes now, as we see situation, different cultures.
This is true. Now, a lot of times, what I've discovered is that families don't know how to do this because we typically look to the family pattern of the family origin that we came out of, and we use that as our script for how to run and operate our families. Some of us look at that script and say, I want to be just like that. Some of us look at that family script and say, I don't want to be anything like that. And so we come up with our version of what we think the family should be. And so when we talk about these dynamics of not just people, even the same faith, coming from different economic backgrounds, a lot of these family of origin issues really point to how do we put God at the center. In some places, God is second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and tenth. And so it's easy to say to someone, put God first, but where do families start? You know, where is like the big rocks that a family needs to consider in this process of putting God in the center?
You know, it would be great if we didn't start our families off with children, but
most
of us today do. It would be great if it were just that, you know, the husband and the wife getting to know each other and found out something about each other and their families, you know, after the love cocktail wears off. That would be the ideal situation. But God knew, you know, us being people and being human beings, and he made us know that that would not most often be the case. And so a lot of times we have to get to know God as we are raising our children. And the thing about that is our kids are watching us get to know God, so it ends up being a conflict.
Well, the thing about it, that would be great, but especially today, many families, because of the culture and the lifestyle we live before we come to Christ and some people after Christ, we don't get a chance to start there. That's not the starting point. In fact, we know God's ideal is that there would be a man and a woman, they would come together and create a family. But even looking at the biblical model, most families aren't that perfect. Most families are not shaped in that dimension. So putting God at the center, there needs to be a wisdom that we all receive in order to make that happen. But, yeah, that's really not the model. So considering the fact that 80% of the people that are listening, that's not their model, what are the first steps that we should take? And I think it starts with a decision.
It is. It's a decision to make God the Lord of your life, you know, and you've got to be intentional. But as I said, now today we look at most often that, you know, a husband and wife come together and they come from different backgrounds, and neither knows Christ, you know. And they get to know, accept Christ as their Savior, you know, but the kids have watched the fights and they've watched all of that go on. And now, you know, you have the thing of walking it out, you know, your decision to follow Christ and to get to know Him and to learn about Him, to study, to show yourself approved to Him and become a workman for Him. Your kids have now got to watch you walk that out, and then you have got the patience. Now you got to be in the place that you trust God, that if God said you and your household will be saved, He knew how that would have to come about.
Well, it's clear that God wants to do His business not just with an individual. He wants to do it with a whole family. We see that from the Adam and Eve story. We see it from the Noah story. We see it from the Abraham story. We see it from the Jesus Christ story, where His family was married, you know, and His father Joseph. God wanted to do His business with not just an individual, but with a family. And families must understand that God is calling us to be phenomenons. We'll even be a phenomenon. We are wired to be a phenomenon. We will be a phenomenon either for the kingdom or will be a phenomenon of the world system. That word phenomenal relates to being a phenomenon, which is a sign of the outward sign of the working of a law or nature. And so the law of God working in our lives causes our families to take on a shape and take on a dimension that gets attention. But we want that attention to be attention that will glorify God. And I think the biggest thing that we can do today in our kingdom, in our culture today as Christians, is to use our families, to grow our families to be God's witnesses. Because when we live our lives according to God's law, our families being operated under the law of God, it will be such a phenomenon when people begin to see that a family that is focused on the purpose for which God created family is a phenomenal family, a productive family, a healthy family, a whole family. So let's come back, Dorothy, after this destiny break, and let's talk about one of the first principles of a phenomenal family is being intentional and purpose-driven and focused, because this purpose and being intentional really gives a husband and a wife, sons and daughters, an opportunity to maximize their confusion, to maximize their energy, to maximize all this good in their life so that they can be able to be everything that God has called them to be. Let's take a break, and we'll come right back after this.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. My guest today is Prophet Dorothy Daniel, and we've been talking about the secrets of the phenomenal family. One of the secrets that I like to share with people is that families are just like airplanes. When they're in flight, they're off track 99% of the time. But it's the power of their flight plan and the power of the compass that they use that helps them to stay on track and to get back on track. Getting off track is deviating from the original intent and the plan of the family is a natural phenomenon, because once you get into that atmosphere of your destiny, you have all the weather elements, all the circumstances, all the trials, the tests, the circumstances, and the people that enter into your life that serve as a force to move you off course. But it's through the power of the vision that God gives each and every family that allows them to get to their destination where on time and when they're supposed to be there. Being intentional and purpose-driven helps us to understand what the nature of our flight plan needs to be to get to our destination. And also, when we understand where we're going and that we're helpless in ourselves to get there without God, and we begin to look to Him as our compass and our direction, then we can find our lives and the quality of our family life, not just being normal, but also phenomenal when we begin to come into purpose and focus. What have you learned, Dorothy, in your family life about the power of purpose shaping a direction or shaping order and balance for you guys?
Well, I found that it was important for us to connect our natural family to a spiritual family, that we weren't going to be able to do it alone. Once we accepted Christ, we knew that we needed to connect spiritually, and we needed to be taught, and we needed to learn. And now we needed help, you know, introducing our kids to Christ. Because I think about when Jesus was on the cross and the disciples were saying, "Your mother is here." And he told them, "Behold, your mother and your mother." He was saying, "Okay, she's your mother, your mother, your mother." So if we would introduce our kids to the spiritual and come into a spiritual family and know that we have help in learning how to be those godly parents, because God is not surprised at how we come to Him. You know,
that's
there's
true.
A path laid out for us to come to Him as Christ, because He said every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord. And every knee that bow and every tongue that confess He's Lord doesn't necessarily mean they're going to save Him. They're going to serve Him. They know who He is, but that doesn't mean that they're going to serve Him. But God had a plan for us to connect, you know, with that spiritual plan, to connect spiritually so that we could begin to learn about Him and know about Him, because we're going to be tested.
But isn't that what happened to Abraham? Isn't that where God had Abraham to separate himself from his family? In Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." We must begin to put our families in a spiritual family to learn the culture, because really we can't do this on our own. We really do need a village to raise our children, and it takes the ability for my children, what helped my children a lot is being able in the context of a church family to see the successes and the failures, and that when you fail, what do you do about the failures, and what is it that you come back. And then for me, it was important for my kids to see my accountability, that hey, I was telling them to obey their mother and their father. I was telling them to be able to line up with the rules of the house. They had an opportunity to see me in the house of God and see how well I did that. It gave a credibility to my direction that I was able to give my family. And I think being in a local church really helped me in my household, hey, to show my kids, okay, just like the church has a corporate vision, we also have a corporate vision. And how do we use this? How do we move our family towards that destination that God has given us? And I think that piece of wisdom that you gave, someone's there and they got a family, they got a blended family, whatever family, taking them to a family, a family church that shares their values, their visions, their direction is going to be very essential to their family actually making it through the weather patterns that every family goes through.
you know, and I find like today a lot of families, young families that do that decide that they want to give their life to Christ, and now the kids are already teenagers. Now they are fighting this battle of dragging the kids to church and telling them, okay, this is where we're going. But I want to encourage those families that if you will serve God wholeheartedly, and don't give up on God, because he knew the condition of your family when he came. And God, if you purpose in your heart to serve him, that God will save your kids. God will do that for your kids, that you for your children, what you cannot do.
Yes, and I use my before Christ experience to present to my kids, say, hey, I did this before I knew Jesus. And the only reason why I did it, I didn't know the wisdom and the benefit of the scriptures. Had I known that, then my life would have been different. And I'm giving these things to you not because I've never done that or that I've never made that mistake, but I'm telling you, I'm doing this so that you would understand that there is a better way. Not my way of doing it, not your mother's way of doing it, but God's way of doing it. That became a part of reference. And I did my mea culpa, you know, with my kids and say, hey, you know, if I started off from birth walking with Jesus, I wouldn't be able to tell you these things, but that wasn't my experience. And I'm letting you know that use the lessons that I can give you from scriptures and the lessons of how you've seen my life change, as well as the lessons of seeing the wisdom behind from my failures, that there was a message in my failure, that I needed Jesus or Jesus's wisdom in this area helped me. And so I would show parents, hey, don't let your past be an excuse not to raise your kids godly from this point on. Just make your mea culpa and say, I've confessed my faults to God. I'm confessing it to you. I've made mistakes with you. But, hey, let's look at the models in the Bible. Let's look at the models in our local church of people who aren't perfect. And when you read scriptures, those families weren't perfect. David's family was not perfect. Solomon's family was not perfect. Abraham's family was not perfect. But at the end of the day, whenever the family got off course, they had a place to come back to, which was God's word and God's will for their life. And I think that's very essential for families to get a hold of. God's not looking for perfect families. He wants to raise up phenomenal families who have allowed God to radically transform them through his word right where they were, and not where they just where they want to be, but where you're at. You need in a family God to visit you right where you're at. And so this local church greenhouse is really important for any family that want to honor God, no matter where the family is. And so this is just essential. And so with the charge of the church, you know, what do we say to pastors right now to say, hey, you really need to get into the business of making more and better families? This is a mandate for us in order for us to carry the gospel the way God wants us. You know, what should we say to pastors about being intentional in this area?
As pastors, I think now and our focus need to come in receiving the family instead of just thinking that we're going to receive them one at a time. Like the mother may come, the father may come. That may be true. But once the family gets there, what do you have set in place to educate that family? You know, to bring that family to the place in God where they need to be strong. And, you know, with that said, I feel like I need to encourage families that have teenagers, that they've come and their teenagers are fighting them all the way. I was just thinking about a parable that's in Matthew when the father asked one son to come and do some work, and he said yes, and then he asked the other one, he said no, and the one that said yes didn't show up, but the one that said no showed up. So though your kids are maybe saying no now, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Know that just as God is working on you, he's working on them. But I think that the local church is important, and I think that our focus need to be family, not just hoping that the fathers will come, but praying the fathers in.
Let's take a destiny break right here, Dorothy. Let's come back and talk about that, about the family. What is the family today in the local church?
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a Distinguished Monthly Voice Partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I want to remind you that we that are kingdom citizens, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are called to show forth the praises of God. If you've been enjoying this broadcast, I encourage you to enjoy it 24/7 by tuning in to our radio broadcast station, voiceofdestinyonline.com. It has a ministry of bringing to you kingdom culture teachings, preachings, and conversations that would change your life. And today I have on the show with me, again, Prophet Dorothy Daniel, and we're talking about the phenomenal family. And a lot of times, Dorothy, when we think of a family, we actually think of just a husband and wife, but there are other members of the family that we need to consider and that our churches should be developing a program to help use them to build more and stronger families and to nurture the family that's there. We have mothers and fathers. We have aunts and uncles. We have brothers and sisters. We have sons and daughters, and many of them are single, and many of them are widowed, and many of them are in transition between one relationship to the next, and these are elements of family that we really need to consider. And so as a church, we need to think globally, think biblically about what the family is. That, yes, God's ideal is that a family will be made up of a mother and a father, but often a family today is made up of a mother and a father, a stepmother and a stepfather, not just four grandparents, but eight grandparents. We have an unusual state of being of the family today. And what is the thing that we need to know about the family of origin that really affects the way the family is ran with the different members of the of a family?
Well, repeat that one more time, because I was looking at a scripture about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Well, I'm saying the family is very diverse today. It's made up of all kinds of people, and that we need to be sensitive in our approach to building families and not limit it to just the husband and wife, but the holistic aspect of the family, you know, with the mother, father, the grandparents, the uncles and the aunts, you know, and the individuals who are alone. They're not attached to a person, but they are yet a member of the family. How do we make them inclusive, and what are good strategies that we need to have to walk in this?
I think we have to look at the whole picture, that God made all of these individuals, and God wasn't for divorce, but he knew that it would come, and therefore that created stepfathers and stepmothers, and you know that part of the family. So God knew that would be happening. But I think that we as the spiritual body have to stop ignoring the fact that this is what's happening. I think most times we try to or we do ignore that there's a stepmother, a stepfather, and you know that everybody's had to have a say in nurturing these children. And so I think that we're back to the church as how do we approach that problem, is that if, even though it's a stepfather, it's still a father.
Yes.
You know, even though it's a stepmother, it's still a mother. How do we get our kids to the point to know that, okay, these are still individuals who are here to nurture you and get the, I know I'm giving you enough question for a question, but, you know, get those fathers and those mothers to do the same thing. Only God can do that. You know, it's too big. It's too big for an individual. That's why it says God wants to not connect us spiritually. That is really a lot to take on without God.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's a responsibility for the church, for us to look well to the herds and know the state of the flock. We got to know who our families are, and we've got to give them the unique wisdom that they have. You know, and because we put the family in the traditional ideal, God's ideal model, that's not how most families in the church look. We as ministry leaders need to make this a part of our kingdom teaching curriculum to say, hey, those of you that are in these unique blended families, remember Abraham and Sarah. You know, Abraham was married, and then he had to Sarah, but there was this other woman that was attached to him, Hagar. How do you handle the dynamics of the balance of power in your household, and how do you add value to every single member of that family to walk out God's plan and God's intent? This is why it comes back to every family has to practice the principle of being intentional by literally saying, just making a decision about what the purpose is. And some of us, we come to these decisions about what our family's purpose is through a phenomenal means, and some of us, we have to come through it through a very practical means. We have to make a decision about what is our family's mission, what is the big why for our family, and then we have to, once we figure out the how, we need the why, we have to figure out what is going to be the how, the strategy of our family, considering who's in our family, what the needs of our families are, what the resource of our family is, and what will we use as our compass to get us back on track, because there are going to be time, because of time, seasons and testings that will lead us to getting off track or deviating from the original intent of the family. You know, Adam and Eve's family had that. They were supposed to be fruitful and multiply. They were to take dominion and be fruitful and multiply. Abraham's family had a purpose and an intent. Their family was to get to this land they were supposed to go to, and in the meantime, they were supposed to be a model to all the rest of the world of what God wants in a people, in an individual, in a culture. You know, you see these models that really work, the families that have been phenomenal throughout scriptures, throughout history, they have to always come back to what is our purpose, because in understanding that thing at hand, then we can be able to carry out and reach the destination and get back on track to fulfill what God has always intended for us. So Dorothy, is there a particular formalized plan or purpose that your family developed over the years, or did you make a decision? How did you guys come to that for your family? Tell us about your family and how did you guys come to your purpose?
Really, we started to focus on, you know, how do we please God? Because as long as we focus on, you know, trying to please one another, that didn't work because I wasn't pleasing to God. But when we started to focus on how to please God, we found that the family started to come together. As you know, our kids are 37 and 40, so we've gone through that thing where that God told Abraham to separate and you go this way and that way. So we're in that phase of our life. But in order for us to get there, we had to decide, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Wow.
And, you know, it brought some conflict, but it caused us to start to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why, you know, I can speak to those parents that have teenagers. And even though we went to church at a certain time, I think it was about 12 years before my husband really started to go to church and started his walk with Christ. We had a kid that was 12 years old by then. And then I was in and out, and this is what they saw. And that was the one that, you know, had the most problem accepting the change that we were making. But we had to start to focus on how do we please God? And we had to get in God's word and say, what is God saying about us? What is God saying about our children? You know, what is our destiny? What is our purpose? You know, why has God put us here? We had to start, like I said, he has to be pivotal. He has to be the one that you start to focus on, because if you focus on your condition, it's going to look hopeless.
Wow.
And you're going to feel helpless.
Well, this is a good place to come to the end of the show to realize that 99% of all families are off track at one stage or the next, but we use the compass of God's word, God's identity. The family is the mind-molding mountain in every culture and every community that teaches people who they are and who they are not. The family is where men and women learn to be men, and they learn to be women. Where they learn to be fathers, they learn to be mothers, good ones or bad ones. We learn our initial script in the environment of the family. And so discussing the importance of the kingdom-centric family, the phenomenal family that God's raising coming up today, it's very important that we get a hold of the mechanics. So we're going to thank you guys for listening here today. We encourage you to visit us at voiceofdestiny.org to get more information about Voice of Destiny Ministry and our vision to empower you, and to tune in 24/7 on the Voice of Destiny show at voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. And we'll see you on the next time. It's been great to have each and every one of you. God does have a plan for your life. Remember, today is a great day, for this is the day the Lord has made for you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.